Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo. And today, we're not joined by the California Connection. In fact, we have somebody brand new making their debut here on this channel. We got Muscle Man Malcolm. Malcolm, what's up, man?
How's it going, Denise? I'm so happy to be here. I feel honored and thrilled, and this is going to be great.
Yeah, you know, I was so excited when you said that you were available because everybody here last week who listened to the show literally saw when Reg just surprised me and was like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to be on my way to Philly on Wednesday and can't do the show. And I was like, dude, WTF, I have to go find somebody to replace him. And you know who the first person I thought of was?
This guy.
It was you. I was going to say you left a lasting impression on me the last time that we saw each other at, where was it, the Royal Rumble?
Rumble, yeah, Tampa.
Yeah. We were both stranded together. Well, not stranded. Right. Kind of stranded because the parking situation was, the Uber situation was a mess.
I would say stranded. We were stranded.
Yeah, for reals. But anyways, we're here to talk about Dynamite. And this was an interesting show, Malcolm, because I'm looking at this and there was probably like two and a half things, somewhere around there that I really enjoyed. And then I didn't think that the rest of the show was as strong. How did you feel overall about Dynamite?
I feel like AEW is in such a strong like rebuilding phase right now. It's like there's a lot that I enjoy and there's parts that I'm like, I'm still kind of falling off a little bit. Like I feel like in the bottom quarter of like 2023, AEW kind of dipped a little bit, and now they've been rebuilding in 2024. So they're still getting out the nooks and crannies of what works and what doesn't work, but the parts that worked work, the parts that didn't, meh.
Right. I feel you. I think that this show in particular probably just didn't hit as hard. And we'll break down everything. And I was originally going to go in order of how things went. And I am to a certain extent, but we are going to bump up the main event segment that we saw because I can't wait to get into that. But before I do, just a friendly reminder to everybody here, if you want to get your questions, your comments, your statements, your opinions read here on the air, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. They help out the show drastically. So let's get to them. Here we go. Sheldon, my man, he didn't have to, but he did. Not only did he gift 5DWL memberships right now on this stream, but he also gifted some on the earlier WrestleMania prediction stream with myself and Luke Owen that is up for you guys to watch whenever you please. We got Crazy 101 here who says, fun episode of Dynamite, that Diddy line. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. We got Travis Lindsay here who says, here's a little extra since Reg ditched you to travel, probably for Hoochie Cheryl. Amazing. Thank you so much, Travis, man. We got Alexander Fitzgerald who says that Copeland promo was lit. Reminded me of the Max promo after Brawl Out. Just a great promo to rally up the fans. Wrestlers hype up a potential match with Malakai Black and tease an Ospreay match. Oh, we're going to jump into that first and foremost. Then we also have Roberto Arsenal who says Swerve bleeding, saying he loves this shit, should be on a shirt. Every time after a Punk interview, my respect for Hangman goes up. Willow was great. So this one's going to be a situation, Malcolm, where a lot of people have different opinions given just everything that went down with CM Punk on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani. So I want to start off there, bringing up Alexander Fitzgerald's super chat in regards to Adam Copeland. So he came out today and he basically did like this promo where he hyped up AEW. He put over the roster. He put over the company. He kind of, if you read in between the lines, he basically said F tribalism, right? Because he was talking about how he, you know, watched WWF, obviously, how he watched the NWA and all of these things in the past and how AEW is basically good for business. That's basically what he said. Then he made sure to thank the people that got this started, that being the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Tony Khan, and of course the name I was wondering if he would say, and he definitely did, Cody freaking Rhodes. I added the freaking. He then went on to say that AEW is the place where he can go and basically wrestle all of these guys like Kenny Omega. He mentions Will Ospreay. And it's kind of a lot. This was clearly Malcolm, and it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, but this was clearly a reaction, a response to the CM Punk, everything that CM Punk said on the MMA Hour. So what did you think of the Adam Copeland situation?
While it felt very genuine of Adam to say everything that he said, because it did feel like it came from a place of like, yeah, this kid probably did watch WWF, NWA, Stampede, etc., before getting his career started and ending up in WWE, now in AEW, etc. But it also kind of felt like AEW just pushing out the most recognizable star that they have to like, hey, go respond to Punk so we can get some of that heat off of us. So it can really go either way. If you're a fan of Punk, you can see it as AEW just trying to respond to him. Especially with the Young Bucks mentioning Scapegoat with Jack Perry later on that night. We'll get into that. Or on the other hand, it could feel like Adam Cole just saying like AEW is made for pro wrestling. Like pro wrestling is what it is today because of AEW. And I agree with him to an extent. I mean, I feel like AEW is such a collaborative effort of so many other different wrestling companies as well coming together. It's like a big incubator of pro wrestling, and they definitely have deserved and earned their spot. So his promo overall was good. Like it was meant to, I'm glad he said everything that he said, but you know, it also can just look like, you know, AEW just shoving out someone. So like, here, go respond to Punk.
Right. So it's one of those things where, again, I think where you land on this, I don't know, this argument where you land on this whole thing is going to shape how you view this Adam Copeland promo, because he went out there and he didn't say anything wrong. I don't think he said anything controversial. He basically just put over the place that he works at and the people that he works at. There was one line that I thought, dang, you know, I find this one a little hard to believe. And the only reason I found it hard to believe was because Adam Copeland hasn't been with AEW as long as he's been with WWE. And it was that one where he said that the AEW locker room was the best locker room he'd ever been in. That one I kind of felt was a little bit reaching. And it may be true, right? It may be true. But I did kind of feel like it was a little bit too much because it was hard to believe.
Yeah, if it was like John Moxley saying that, I would understand because he's been there for so many years at this point. But like Adam, he just got here a few months ago. Like it hasn't been a whole year yet, I don't think. So, you know, I see what he was trying to do. Did it fully execute what they were looking for? Yes, to an extent. But also, if you're leaning a little towards more what CM Punk was saying, then also it just didn't in some regard.
Right, right. Now, the thing, okay, so there were a lot of people that I saw on social media, X. I was kind of seeing both sides of the argument. And like when I posted that tweet about Adam Copeland and what he had said, like it's just been nonstop in the comment sections, just people going back and forth in regards to like how they felt about it. And one of the things that I have been seeing people say is that they, and again, this shapes the view of maybe where these people are coming from, but it's more of like, oh, AEW shouldn't have said anything. They shouldn't have had Adam Copeland come out and try to make WWE seem like the big bad guy and all of this stuff, right? Yeah. Do you agree with that? Or do you think that it was the right thing to do to have Adam Copeland come out and basically say like, nah, fuck that. We're who we are.
I feel like, I'm going to be real. I'm a big CM Punk guy. So like when I watched the interview with CM Punk, I'm like, well, there's a lot of stuff you can interpret and what's true, what's not true. Like, you know, I'm not that man. I'm not in this position. I feel like it's just AEW need to put out the biggest star possible. And Adam Copeland's the most recognizable name because he's the only person that's experienced success on a level of what CM Punk has also experienced. So if anyone can speak for what AEW can mean to them, it would be Adam Copeland, because he has so much history in pro wrestling and so much success, unlike a lot of guys on the AEW roster, because they're young and they're new and they will get to that point at some point in their career. But I guess like besides him, it'd be like a Jericho or a Moxley. But I feel like Adam might have just been like the most wholesome guy to say everything that he had to say, even if he wasn't the most tenured AEW dude to be saying it.
Right. I don't think right now would be the right time to have somebody like Chris Jericho go out there and cut this type of a promo. But see, the way that I see it too is like, okay, so you have CM Punk come out there. And like you said, I'm also a big CM Punk fan. But I think part of it is you also have to look at it right from both sides. There are going to be things you agree with and with what CM Punk said. There was a lot that he said in that interview that I agreed with. Yeah. And there was other things. I'm choking on my own saliva. There was other things that I personally thought, oh, that's a little bit too much. Like, I can't agree with that. And I had mentioned this earlier, but the two lines that I couldn't, rather the big line that I couldn't agree with him on was that he said that AEW wasn't a business, because I'm like, okay, AEW, I, from the last, like, there was never a missed paycheck. Like, you were getting paid, man. To me, like, gee, that's a business, okay? Like, that's a business. You're getting paid. You're getting your paycheck. That's a business, all right? There are lots of other businesses out there that be taking employees' monies, calling themselves a business, not paying their employees, and all of this stuff, all right? That's a fake business. This is a real business. And I felt bad. I thought that was a big slap in the face to AEW. I thought that was a big slap in the face to the entire company, to the wrestlers that are there. And I got where he was saying, where that they might focus a little bit too much just on the pro wrestling and not like the storytelling. I get what he means by that, but I also didn't think that meant for him to say that AEW isn't a business. So I try to think about it from this end, right? Because Adam Copeland comes out and he's like, you know, a bunch of shit happened and whatever, right? Yeah. Think about it this way. Like, I get it. Adam Copeland is already at pretty much the end of his career, okay? He doesn't really need to be here. Like, he's made his money. He can be at home doing his own thing. But point is, he kind of risked his reputation and, again, the tail end of his career. This is most likely where he is retiring, to go to this company, right? And when you got people going out there and making these big changes and all of these things, you don't want someone to come out and basically shit all over the company that you work on, right? And that's so right. I can see exactly why Adam Copeland would come out and cut this type of promo. And that's kind of him coming out and sort of standing up for a lot of people in the back who may have been upset by what CM Punk had to say on the MMA Hour.
No, I completely agree with you. Another point in that CM Punk interview I also didn't like, that's not necessarily about the Adam Copeland promo, but he called Tony Khan. He's like, he's not a businessman. He's a nice guy. I'm like, that's such an insult to his like personality and everything and whatnot. Like, I see what you're trying to say, but it's like, to say that line and then to call me a nice guy afterwards, like, that's such an insult. That's so unneeded. And like, I get it. I mean, he came from an angry place of seeing the way Tony publicly fired him and whatnot. Like, you know, I get it, but it's like such a immature thing to say. Like, especially you've already won. Like, you already got out the contract. You already went back to WWE. You don't need to say that. Like, if you want to talk about Jack Perry, whatnot, that's a real fight that happened. But I feel like that whole line with Tony wasn't unnecessary. That's just a random thing I found in the promo or the interview with Ariel that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, as much as I do love CM Punk and I'm a CM Punk guy. But it was just, it was unneeded.
Right, because it was messed up, man. Like, yeah. I feel like, and it sucks too, because I get it, right? When you're a boss, you got to be firm. You can't let no one walk all over you. You cannot be a pushover. Okay, and we've heard stories and things like that where in some scenarios we have seen Tony Khan fall into that position. But at the same time, I'm like, damn, like, saying you're a nice person is a good quality to have. Being nice is not a bad quality. But then again, there is that thing of being too nice can make you a pushover. So even though I like that one, I felt that there was some truth to that line. But it sucks to hear, of course, because it's like an insult to who you are. Yes. Yeah. And so personally, my hopes for this is, because I try to think about it this way. You have a YouTube channel. I have a YouTube channel. All right. A lot of us creators have YouTube channels. Everyone's at different journeys of their YouTube career, etc. Imagine if I went out there and I was like, yo, Malcolm's channel isn't even a real channel. Malcolm's channel this, Malcolm's channel that. You would be like, yo, F this girl for saying that. And then, but here's the thing. That should be the thing that lights a fire underneath your butt to basically be like, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. And that's exactly what I hope AEW does. I hope that the positive thing coming out of this is that this sort of angers them, but not in a way where they become bitter or they sink to a certain level, but it angers them enough to be like, you know what? We're going to put the best matches. We're going to come up with the best stories. We're going to try things that are outside the box, and we're going to make AEW, you know, bigger and better. Right. I hope that's the thing that lights the fire underneath their butt. You know,
I think it definitely will, especially like with Adam's promo also like setting up like two other matches going down the line, like Ospreay coming out afterwards, and it looks like they're leading into something down the line with them. And later on, Penta challenges Adam for the title, I think on Dynamite next week, right?
Yeah, Penta yeah. and Adam Copeland next week on Dynamite. Yeah, Dynamite, which is yeah. Pretty so, interesting, yeah,
it
actually.
Definitely will be interesting, yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into some of these super chats that we have here. This is from It's BB, who says, did Adam have marching orders from TK? I don't know. Obviously, you know, I'm not in the back. I don't know how the creation of this came up because Adam Copeland is also somebody that's going to, because of who he is, he's going to come in with his own say. He's going to come in with his own opinions. Of course, he doesn't have like that overriding power that Tony Khan has because it's his company. But I'm pretty sure this was sort of like this collaborative thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine why like he would like if there's something that Adam didn't want to say, I'm probably sure he wouldn't want to say it. But, you know, I mean, if I was TK, I'd be like, hey, man, can you like try like fight back for me, please?
Fight back for me, please.
Please, please.
Rafael Garcia says, once again, I'm asking TK to keep that Jericho mid-card vortex away from our violent flower child. Also, if your leader is attacked, shouldn't you help? All right, so we'll talk about Chris Jericho in just a moment. That one's going to be interesting. We got Sheldon Jackson here with a very generous super chat. He says, 15 total DWO gifted memberships today. I actually gifted 10 on your first stream today, gifted 5 at 6:30 a.m. because I didn't think I would get a chance to gift DWO memberships before the first stream and the one you saw. Sheldon, you're incredible, man. I don't know what I did to deserve you, so thank you so much. George L. says, show was cool in person. Women's match was good, but don't know how the crowd carried over. Now to watch Collision. Talk to you later, Denise. Well, have a good time, George, with Collision, man. Grapple Geekery says, that's who Adam Copeland was talking about? I kid. Meanwhile, Willow's promo ruled. Monet breaking it up was great. I was not ready for that Diddy line, though. Oh, we're going to get to it. Mike Parker in the house says, the best locker room was too much. He was in a locker room with Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker, Mick Foley, Triple H, etc. At the same time, during the time when all were red hot. Come on, dude. So that was the line that I think both of us kind of felt. It was just a little bit reaching again, because to me, it's like, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that there wasn't a lot of great memories that he had behind the scenes.
Exactly. He was part of the hottest period of wrestling probably ever, if not this period as well. But like, you know, bro, come on. Like, legends you're around. Legends.
Yeah. Bro. I mean, there's, you can put over the roster and you can say like, you know, this is an incredible crowd, blah, blah, blah. But I think to say the best, again, this is, you know, I can't speak for him. None of us can. Maybe he's telling the truth. Shit, I don't know. But it did feel that line was the only one that was like.
Felt like a fat old lie.
Yes. Like, what is it? The game? Two truths, one truth, two lies.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. Yeah, Rise and Shine, it's butt whipping time, says, if MJF instead of Adam Cole opened the show tonight and Adam Copeland opened the show tonight and put AEW over, it would have been more believable and impactful, in my opinion. Yes, because MJF is a homegrown guy. So yes, and MJF is, in my opinion, he's just a better promo. So yeah, and he tends to make his promo sound a little bit more
real.
More real. Yeah, more human. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Adam sounded like an advertisement. Like he really read that script. He's like, say less. I got this. And just repeated every single line. As much as like he is obviously can like freeform and freestyle his own promos. But yeah, I think MJF would have made it feel a little more personal because he hasn't been in these other locker rooms and just really knows AEW to the core. But yeah, no, I agree with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Alejandro Cordero says, according to Punk, if you don't poop in the head of a girl and pay millions to make her shut up, you are not a businessman. Oh, man. It's rough. It's really rough. Like, that's obviously not what CM Punk said, of course. No. He's talking more so about, you know, WWE as a business as a whole. And there's a million people that work there. So it's a little hard to justify it this way. But I get the joke, though. I get the joke. All righty. Thank you guys so much, by the way, to everybody sending in super chats. Appreciate everyone being here. I want to go ahead and get into the main event segment, the Swerve Samoa Joe contract signing. Now, Malcolm, everyone here knows that I write down like my little notes while I'm watching these shows, little things I want to say. I have no notes for this because I was like literally just watching everything unfold. this was, I would say, the strongest part of the show, 100%. I thought this was better than the Adam Copeland promo. I thought that this was the best thing on the show. And basically what it was Samoa Joe and Swerve going out there. Both said a couple of words, one of which included a P. Diddy line. And everybody here knows all of the drama and the controversy surrounding P. Diddy. And I don't even remember what he said, but he said something along the lines of, oh, I'm going to beat you like you've been so late at P. Diddy's house, something like that. I didn't even get to write it down. But everybody was like, oh, shit, you know, like, I can't believe he went there. And so that was the best line of the night. But this led to them fighting. This led to freaking Samoa Joe getting that chain of Swerve and literally just freaking hitting him over and over on the head like this man was inhuman and bust him open. And then afterwards, you end up getting Swerve, who you think is going to be down and out. He's not down and out. He ends up grabbing a pen and rubbing it on his blood and signs the contract in his blood. I mean, this was menacing to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, Swerve, bro, if this man don't win the world title, I'm going to be so depressed, bro. Like, he has to get it. Like, it's just the right time. It feels right. I mean, he literally got it back in blood, literally. Like, he signed it in blood. Like, you can't do this and lose. If I swear, Tony Khan, if you let that man lose again, we can't. It has to be a new world champion. Has to be.
Yeah, I feel like everybody here is sort of counting down the days because I think it's pretty obvious that Swerve is walking out the champion out of this. I mean, I don't know. This was very good. I think they did a really good job of, like, even just like the crowd afterwards when Samoa Joe put Swerve through the table and the crowd was chanting like, holy shit. They did a good job of just amplifying this to a whole other level. Now, here's the thing. One of the things that I think has really helped Swerve get really over, and that the big thing was that match with Hangman Page, and we all remember the blood spot where he like drinks his blood and it's awful. Swerve is getting over. I think it helps that he's violent, that he has these violent characteristics. And so seeing that visual of him with the pen and the blood, that's what the people want, I feel.
Mm-hmm. They definitely do. Like, it's so weird because, like, Swerve has never been like a big promo guy. So to see like how great this man is on the mic and how just dangerous this dude looks, like, it's crazy. Like, I've been watching Swerve since I was 15 years old. He used to wrestle out of MCW, Joppa, Maryland. And like, I would have never seen this trajectory for him. Not saying he's not worthy of the world title. I just never realized he had really had that dog in him like the way he does. Like, it is crazy how, like, I would never want to run into this man on the street at all. Like, it's like, he's crazy. He like, the blood and the dead. No. I don't want any parts of this. You can have my wallet for sure. Like, this dude is insane, and I'm very happy for him. I love to see the success he's had so far, and that world title on him is going to look pretty, and he's going to put his blood on it too. It's going to look even better.
Oh, you know it. You know it. But yeah, you're right. I think he's definitely got that dog in him. But this was really cool. This was a cool beatdown to really, really put over the excitement for this main event. Yeah. We got Aaron Murray here who says, nobody was expecting trouble with best friends. I'm here for the storyline. Long overdue. Yes. We got Manzo96 who says AEW has been on fire since January and people are just going to pretend today that the product is struggling. Weird behavior. Well, the people that are saying that, because I mean, I have a mixture of an audience. I have people that are fans of all wrestling. They don't care. They watch anything. I have people that just watch AEW, people that just watch WWE, people that just watch AEW and WWE. So I see these comments come in and there are a lot of comments that I see that are very out of touch, Malcolm. Like, even just today, like 20 minutes ago, I was on watching Dynamite and on my timeline. It popped up. Some guy was like, AEW's dying in 6 months. And I'm like, where are you? I get you're not a fan, but don't sound so ignorant, you know, like, don't be that person. But there's a lot of people like that. So yeah. I think it depends on where you're hearing this from. If you're hearing that the AEW product is not as hot as it was, but you're hearing it from people that like AEW, maybe take that to some truth. Okay. Yeah. But if you're hearing that from people that just completely hate the product, then that should kind of tell you everything you need to know, right?
Yeah, like if it's an avid AEW hater, like why would you take their word for anything? Like they don't like it, so they're gonna find anything that's wrong with it and amplify it to something that it's not. Like if I stop watching Dynamite for 2 months and I just notice, oh well, the crowd isn't there on the other side of the arena, only quarter of it's full, da 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 da. Like, yeah, I guess I could assume it's dying. But then if I watch the show, I'm like, well, I was entertained. It was great wrestling. It's not dying. Like, it just isn't. So, I mean, like, people are stupid.
But it was like, for example, I remember World's End, and a lot of people here were listening to that podcast with Reg and I. That was not a good pay-per-view. Now, I'm sitting here, and I'm telling you, it was not a good pay-per-view, and I watched the show week in and week out. It's okay to say that something you like is not good because people understand you're still a fan.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I mean, like, they're not going to have a banger every single week. Sometimes it's going to be a little mid. Sometimes it's going to be great. Sometimes it's going to be trash. Sometimes it's going to be ass. Like, it's going to happen. But, like, you know, as long as you're getting it from people that actually watch it and enjoy it, then it matters. But if it's from someone that, like, doesn't watch AEW, can't name who the world champion is, like, I mean, sorry. No, I just, like, your opinion don't matter. In this circumstance, it just doesn't matter.
Simple. I'm just laughing because there was something that you said right now about something being ass, and there was something on today's show that I loathed, and I can't wait to talk about it, and I think people will figure it out. Mike T90K says, can't wait to see 15-year-olds on X saying, where is the story when Joe and Swerve finally fight? I love that. All right, we got Rise and Shine. It's Butt Whipping Time. It says, rumor has it that WWE's No Way pay-per-view back in the day was named after Diddy's No Way Out album. Crazy, right? I didn't know about that. I'm not like I'm not a super hardcore P. Diddy fan, so I just know the hits. He's got a lot of them.
I unfortunately am. Yeah. It is named after that. That's crazy.
Oh, it is.
Here's a picture of Vince and P. Diddy from like WrestleMania 29. And just thinking about those two people in the same photo, it's like, yo, the stories they could tell each other that would land them both in jail is crazy. Like, those dudes are weird.
Yeah, damn. We got Sal Cruz that says, Punk saying guaranteed contracts ruined wrestling while having your arm in a brace is wild. Also, Joe got the best shock face in the business. Yeah, I made sure to meme that. Yeah, that was another line that I did not agree with CM Punk in regards to the guaranteed contracts line. Didn't agree with that either. Again, there was a lot that I agreed with and a lot that I didn't agree with. Sal Cruz, thank you so much for the super chat. It's very generous of you. All right, so I want to get into the segment I didn't like, actually. Let's go there first. Do you think, can you guess it, Malcolm? Can you guess it?
I don't know. I mean, there's stuff I know I didn't necessarily like, but what was it? Tell me.
Oh, my friend, it was Daddy Ass versus Jay White. One of my least favorite things I have seen AEW do. This one, that's why I was laughing when you said it was ass, because that's literally how I felt about it. I was just not a fan of this. This was not for me. I don't know who it was for, but it wasn't me. I was kind of, so basically this is what I was thinking about, right?
Yeah.
We had what felt like 40 minutes, and it wasn't 40 minutes, but it felt like 40 minutes of Daddy Ass basically slow motion beating up Jay White. The beatdown that Jay White couldn't apparently come up from, couldn't escape from, was the most mid beatdown I have seen in a long time. There was nothing that was done that made me think, oh, Jay White can't get up. There was nothing. They go to the crowd, right? I'm thinking, oh, maybe some big thing's gonna happen here. Nothing happened. Nothing. And then, so we get all of this, right? I just didn't like how I made Jay White look, and I didn't like how slow the beatdown was. Like, nothing noteworthy, whatever.
Yeah. Keep going.
Oh, no, it's okay. Then we get the guns. They come out there, hit him with the chair, ends in DQ, and freaking Daddy Ass gets the win. Go for it. What'd you think of this?
Yeah, my biggest criticism of AEW usually comes around how they book Jay White. Like, they've been... I was going to say they're getting better, but it's just not at this point. He's such a great star, and I just don't feel like he's been used properly at all. He did some cool stuff in the early days of Collision, but besides that, everything he's done recently, it just hasn't been anything I'm like interested in at all. I like the old Jay White that was like cursing up a storm in his promos and being the world champion and going after singles titles and not get beat up by like a dude that's like damn near 60. Like, you
first
know,
he got beat by a one-legged dude.
Stand up, put your hands up, but he just didn't, and it's sad.
First, he got beat up by a one-legged dude. Now he gets beat up by daddy ass.
Yeah, Jay. Hey, man, I think New Japan might have been a move to stay over there. Like, I don't know why you're over here right now, honestly.
See, it's hard. I really hope we do see these bigger matches, these better stories. I hope that this whole scissor gang, bang, bang, whatever the hell it's called, ends pretty freaking soon, because this just wasn't for me. I was not a fan of this whatsoever. So this was definitely my least favorite thing on the show today. Alexander Fitzgerald says, I know people are tired of Jericho, but I've been tired of the Acclaim. Please get them away from Jay White. I was about to say, I was more tired of this. And the Jericho Hook stuff, it's not good. And the fans are telling them it's not good. They're booing the hell out of this. However, because I don't really care as much, I'm like, whatever, like, just let it be. But this stuff with Jay White, I care because I care about Jay White as a performer on the show. And that's why I felt as passionately as I did about it. Like, the Jericho Hook stuff, I'm like, it's not what I would be doing, but I guess I'm going to take it for what it is. So let's get into that.
What's there to talk about? Just Jericho with another young guy that I don't want to see Jericho tag with. I don't see Jericho feud with. Like, I like Hook. I just think he should be doing something else. It's a good rub to be around Chris Jericho to an extent because he is Chris Jericho. I'm personally not a fan of him at all. So to me, it's just like, man, you're just wasting months of Hook's career that he could be doing anything else. Like, I just... Can Jericho just take like a year off and quit? That's what I would like personally. Like, so, just take a year off, leave forever.
It's funny because you're not a Jericho fan at all, right? Now, I am a Jericho fan. So we're totally different, right? When it comes to where we're at with Chris Jericho. And I think we both agree, though, that this is just not working. Right. Even if you're a fan, if you're not a fan, this is just not working. Like, my whole time, it's like, this feels to me like the parent that goes to prom to chaperone their kid. Like, let them freaking go to prom and have some good time. Don't be chaperoning them. That's what it feels like. And Jericho ain't his daddy.
Nah. Like, if this was, I'd much rather see Taz come out of retirement and try to tag team with his son. Like, that would be more interesting to me. I just don't. I want to see Jericho take a year off and quit. That's just how I feel about him. Like, he bores me. He says a lot of dumb stuff that he doesn't need to say online. And like, I don't get the hype. I liked him when I was a kid, but I'm grown and he's old. I don't need him anymore, grown. Personally.
I'm grown. I'm a grown man.
I liked him when I was 8. I'm not 80. I'm 24 now. Like, you know, too long ago. I don't want to see him anymore. Just leave, please. God.
So, like, that's the thing, though. Like, I know people want a break from Jericho, and right now it feels like that's probably the only thing. I hope that somehow, some way, they find a way to turn things around. I hope they find a way to get some intrigue back into Jericho, because when he's good, he's very good. When he goes out there and wants people to get their attention, he manages to get people's attention. But now it's a situation where he sort of has, like, go-away heat. And that, as we know, is not the same as heat. So the fans are booing this, but we are going to be getting this match between Chris Jericho. Sorry, we're getting the tag team match with Chris Jericho and Hook teaming up together on Collision. So that's where we're at. It's happening. This Lion Hook thing, they're not letting it go. We have Mike Parker here who sends in a generous super chat saying, I think certain people expect too much from a company, AEW, that's only been around since 2019. WWE in all its forms has been around since the 60s, a juggernaut since the 80s, and was the only big company for years. My take. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't compare the two companies. I mean, WWE has gone through its ups and downs, and they have learned from their lessons, hopefully, and mistakes and things from everything, from production to the way that they do the things that they do with the stories, with the wrestlers and all of that, and the way that they promote and sell tickets. I mean, you got so many years of experience, so many years of building up a very, very hardcore, loyal fan base. And that's wonderful. So you have AEW here, who's been around since 2019. Mm-hmm. They don't have all of those things. They don't have years of someone's core, like there are people, right, that don't like AEW because they are hardcore WWE fans, right? And those people have grown up watching WWE. A lot of them probably weren't even WCW fans. Maybe they were just WWE fans. Like everyone has a different view of things. And think about it. Like these people grew up watching wrestling and have been watching wrestling for however long. That's what they know. So it is hard to all of a sudden be like, oh, well, I'm not going to support this company anymore or whatever. I understand why some people get very passionate about things and why they refuse to try to see some of these other programmings. Of course, mm-hmm. once you do, you open your eyes to things and you realize that there's a lot of very entertaining stuff out there. But again, I'm kind of just speaking for that like very, very hardcore audience.
Yeah, it's just like a niche audience like AEW. And again, like you just said, I mean, like, and as Mike said as well, WWE's been around so long, dog. Like, you're never going to be able to compete on like a historical level. Every big star that you bring in is going to have some WWE value to them because they were over there at some point. Like, it's just, it's what it is. It's like football right now. The UFL is a big league right now. It's a spring football league. The Rock owns it. People really like it, but there's people that just hate it because they just love NFL and refuse to try anything else besides the NFL. Like, it's okay to like this stuff, but to blindly hate it is just wild because you're not even trying to give it a chance. Like, it's one thing they did something wrong, but they didn't do anything wrong yet.
It's Keys Boussess. So AEW's plan for Saturday's show to be during or after the main event of WrestleMania, good idea or no? So Collision is airing, I believe it's what, 11:30 Eastern time?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad. I don't think that show's going to do very well.
Nope, not one bit. I mean, like, it's WrestleMania. I'm going to be at WrestleMania, so I'm not watching Collision. You know, it is what it is. It's one of those things that's unfortunate with putting that show on a Saturday. I would love to see them moved it, but, you know, it's a lot more than just, oh, well, WrestleMania Saturday. So there's networking and a lot of business stuff that, you know, it is what it is. This is going to do bad. It's just 1 week. They'll be okay.
Yeah, it's just 1 week. But they are putting, what was it that they announced? Commander and I think Penta, right? Or was it Rey Fenix? Who did they announce for that match? They announced a match for that on, and I didn't write it down, but I'm sure someone here will let me know in the chat. But yeah, they announced something for that.
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, I want to get into some stuff that I really enjoyed. Thank you, guys. It was Penta. Thank you to everybody here. I was pretty sure it was Penta. I'm like, it wasn't Rey because Rey's still out. All right. So let's go ahead and get into, you know what? Let's get into the Willow Mercedes topic here because this was something very quick and simple, but we got a Willow promo on Dynamite. And you can tell she was very, very excited. And I thought at first I was like, oh, you know, like at first I wasn't feeling the promo. I wasn't feeling it at first. I really got into it the moment where she started talking about how a girl like her, this curly haired girl, she calls herself a freak, how she can make it. And this is very inspiring thing. That was the part that got me. That was the part that felt like Willow. That was the part that made me go, I want to clap for this girl, because you can't root against someone who is out here calling out all of these things that they consider flaws and basically saying, like, I still made it in a business that is very, very about cosmetics and whatnot. And so anyway, she killed it with that. I thought the way she ended the promo was really great. She's confronted by Mercedes Moné. She comes out there looking very colorful with some very colorful hair. And she basically says, whoever walks out as champion, whether it's Julia Hart or Willow Nightingale at Dynasty, I'm going to face this person at Double or Nothing. And it's happening. And I feel that it was very obvious that this was the direction that they were going in. And I'm pretty sure positively that it's going to be Mercedes versus Willow at Double or Nothing. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know. There were some complaints that I saw about people not liking the fact that Mercedes is going straight into a match versus like just going up and climbing up the rankings and things like that, because, you know, the rankings are back. So that was one of the criticisms. How did you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the rankings part, like, because there is rankings, yes, that makes sense to criticize it. To me, I just think the rankings are pointless. It is like point in time in AEW, like, I feel like that can just go away quietly. But
go away, like, Mercedes, go away, like, after it just came back.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? But like, with Mercedes, like, she's such a big star, and it's not like she's challenging for, like, the women's world title. Like, when Deonna came in, she basically went straight for the world title with, I think she might have had a win or two. But still, like, you don't just go straight for the world title. That's nothing against Deonna, because she's great. But, like, for Mercedes to just go after the mid-card title of the women's division, it makes sense. I feel like she can kind of jump the line necessarily, because, I mean, who else was stepping up and challenging besides Willow and whatnot, and, like, Chris Statlander? So I feel like it makes sense that Mercedes does get the opportunity, and especially if Willow does win it. Like, the story's there, it's perfect. And as far as Willow's promo, like, the beginning of it was a little rough, but it did come around at the end, because Willow has such, like, a great quality about her, which, like, it doesn't matter what she's saying. It's just, like, how she says it and how it's delivered is so positive, and it just makes you just like her. Like, she's just, like every guy's girl best friend. Like, you just gotta love her. There's no reason. Like, she's like a sister. So, like, whenever she talks to you, like, no, I'm going to protect her with everything. Because, like, she's just great. I love her. I hope she wins the title. And then her and Mercedes go at it. Don't worry. Nothing. It'll be great. I love it.
She could literally be like, you stink like shit. But the way that she says it, I'd be like, thank you.
You know what? I do. I do. And thank you for telling me.
We got NV, the engineer here, sends in a super chat. Thank you so much. Saying Mercedes needs to wrestle. This coming out every week, a little dance and a bad promo on commentary is not working. If her first match isn't until Double or Nothing, that's a bad idea, in my opinion. I have a feeling her first match is going to be at Double or Nothing. And I personally believe that it has to do with her injury. I don't think she's, well, she may be like 99, 98%. I'm thinking she's not 100%. And that's probably why we're not going to see her wrestle until Double or Nothing.
Yeah, it's just saving her. Because, like, the worst that can happen is she gets injured on Dynamite and then that cancels everything. And she's out for however long it could be. Like, it makes sense. I understand his complaint, though, because, like, the promos she's been cutting haven't been the best. And I'm a huge Mercedes fan. I think she's honestly the best women's wrestler in the world right now. But, yeah, her promos haven't been the best. So it's a fair criticism. It's more just how you view Mercedes as a fan, if, like, you like it or if you don't.
I think her promos just feel a lot different from some of the other promos that we see in AEW, because the promos in AEW feel a little bit more just like two people talking, right?
Yeah.
Versus Mercedes, when she comes out, it's more of a, it's a show, it's a presence. And that's one of the great things about Mercedes, but it does not match up with what we see on AEW. Like, you know, for example, okay, Will Ospreay, he comes out to do a promo. He was probably given an outline, but you believe everything that he says in the sense that that's who he is, right? Mercedes comes out and does a promo. You know that someone wrote that for her, and you know that that's not necessarily exactly who she is. That's the CEO character talking. And so it is, I think that's part of, I think that's a little bit of part of the issue a little bit. It's a good thing, and it's a little bit of a bad thing too.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, when you're like a hardcore Mercedes fan, which I'm proud to be, you overlook it. But if you're not,
me too.
I will overlook anything. But, like, you know, if you're not, I can honestly see exactly what you're talking about. And I fully agree with, like, any criticism you have of her promo style and whatnot. It does feel a little forced compared to, like, Will Ospreay. Just like, bruv. Like, I love how he talks. It's amazing.
You're like, I don't understand half what he's saying, but I'm on board.
Yeah, like, I don't know what you're saying, dog, but yes to all of that.
We got Alexander Fitzgerald, who says Mercedes, when she's a heel, cuts better promos. I think she will be a heel, because I don't think Willow is going to be the heel in this.
No. You can't be. Like, I can see exactly why Willow should be heel. She did injure Mercedes, so, like, it makes full sense. But, like, I'm not gonna boo her. I refuse.
Who are you gonna boo? Are you gonna boo the CEO, or are you gonna boo this, like, happy-go-lucky girl that kicked ass?
She has a heel character. I don't know why she's not heel, but she actually has a heel character.
Yes.
She's just such a big star that people want to cheer her right now. So, like, it's going to be face versus face, but I think Mercedes will eventually turn heel. Maybe within the match, maybe.
I think she'll heel it up before we get to Double or Nothing.
That's fair.
We got Mike T90K, who says Mercedes will cost Willow the title at Dynasty, and they'll have their grudge match at Double or Nothing. Story is there, doesn't need a title. I think it will have the title, though.
Yeah.
I think it will. I don't think that, like they already said, she already said, whoever wins, I'm going to be the first in line for that title, right?
Yeah.
AEW doesn't really backtrack on things like that. So that's why I am expecting for there to be an outcome. I am expecting Willow to become TBS champion heading into this match with Mercedes at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, she didn't say what she said then, yeah.
But right. Patrick Moore sends in a super chat saying, you two have the best smiles on the internet and the locker room. Hey! I love that. Thank you so much, Patrick. All right. All right. Let's get into something that I loved on this show. And that, my friend, was Will Ospreay versus Powerhouse Hobbs. When they announced this match. Yeah, when they announced this match, I'm like, yeah, TK knows what his fans want. This is what his fans want. This was very fun. There were some great moments. The thing that I most want to say about this is that there's two things I really loved. One, how Will Ospreay sold for Powerhouse Hobbs. And that leads into my number two, being that Hobbs looked like a monster. He looked like a monster. He was pissed. He was angry. Even in his loss, he was pissed. That was very good. What'd you think?
Oh, my God. I love Powerhouse Hobbs. That's my brother. He won't admit to it, but I tried asking him because we both say Mark Henry's our father. He's my dad. He's not Powerhouse's. I asked him if we could be brothers. He said we can be distant cousins. So that was my distant cousin out there wrestling. So, like, bro was killing it. I love how pissed he looks. He reminds me a lot of Ice Cube. Every interview he does, he always looks mad. Even if he's smiling, he looks mad. And Powerhouse Hobbs has such, like, an Ice Cube mentality that I just love what that dude does every single time he steps in the ring. But Will Ospreay is also the best wrestler in the world. So, like, you know, the combination was just right there. And it was perfect.
Yeah, it definitely was. That was very fun. And what I loved about this, too, is that we got back-to-back matches in the sense that Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson is happening at Dynasty, as we all know. And they had these matches back-to-back. You had Will Ospreay have his match, and then you had this mini little stare down between him and Bryan Danielson. And then Bryan Danielson goes into his match with Lance Archer. Now, I didn't think this match was as good as Will Ospreay Powerhouse Hobbs. It wasn't bad, but my one gripe with it, one small thing, it went too long. That was the only thing. Other than that, fine, but I would have definitely trimmed some of it down a little bit.
I would have put a different monster in there with Brian. Like, it's nothing against Lance. I just think the styles just didn't combine. It was kind of like watching Big Cass and Daniel Bryan in, like, 2019 or whatever. It just didn't work, and that's okay, but, you know, it just didn't work.
All righty, and let's go ahead. And we got two more big things to talk about. And the next one I want to get into is the Young Bucks versus the Best Friends, because this, of course, led to the Young Bucks winning. And now they're going to face either FTR or Top Flight at Dynasty. I'm thinking from the very beginning, I think we all pretty much guessed that this is going to be Young Bucks versus FTR. This tournament hasn't felt too unpredictable. In fact, it's been very predictable. But what was, I guess, not as predictable, maybe? Or maybe it was, I don't know. Trent turning on Orange Cassidy. The Best Friends, no more. What'd you think of this?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I feel like it's definitely a step down respectfully for Orange Cassidy, just because, like, he came off of like two great title reigns. So, you know, I wasn't a giant fan of it, but also, like, it was time. Like, I feel like that gimmick was, like, it was kind of over at that point. So it was the right time to do it. It's just like, I wish he was doing something different, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point, because when you have Orange Cassidy going out there and doing this international championship run that he did, and he had, like, how many defenses? Like 30-something, 20-something? I don't even know, a bunch. And I feel like he did his job. He put that belt on the map. And after that, it's sort of been like whatever's, right? But because we love the Best Friends, and I think the AEW fan audience loves the Best Friends, I think this is a good story to tell, and it could be a fun one. So I'm going to give this one time, and I'm going to trust and see how it plays out. So I'm going to put a pin on this one and see how it all works out there. All right, the last thing we got to get into for today is the women's match between Mariah May and Thunder Rosa. And before I get to that, friendly reminder that this Saturday at the 2300 Arena, if you are in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend, head on over to the Busted Open Party. Doors open at noon, and myself and Thunder Rosa hit the stage for a pre-show at 12:30. From 12:30 to 1:30, myself and Thunder Rosa will be live. We're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff. We're going to have guests. We're going to have fan interactions. It's going to be a freaking blast. So please be there. 2300 Arena. It's free. You don't have to pay. Saturday, doors open at noon, 12:30. Me and Thunder Rosa hit the stage. All right, with that being said, we got this match between Mariah May and Thunder Rosa with Toni Storm on commentary. This was fun because, one, Mariah May and Thunder Rosa worked very nicely with one another. Eventually, Thunder Rosa hits her her Tijuana bomb, and she gets the win. She starts talking all this shit to Toni Storm because now we are going to be seeing this match between Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm at AEW Dynasty. So what'd you think of the match, and are you looking forward to this matchup at Dynasty?
You know, if I'm being honest, if I just recently went back and watched a lot of like AEW All Access. So I'm actually really more invested into this than I thought I would be. If I hadn't just watched all of that, I'd probably be a little less invested, but I understand the story that they're going to tell. And I would love to see Thunder Rosa get the title back eventually. I don't know if this is exactly the right time for her to win it, but I feel like it's definitely the step in the right direction for her to get some championship gold down the line. I'm excited to see you guys on the stage as well. You said it was free, right?
That's it's a good free. Price. Come through, man. If you're there, it's free.
Good price. I like that price. But yeah, I'm excited
your
to see
dad, your dad's going to be there. Your dad, Mark Henry, is going to be there.
But yeah, no, I think it's a great step in the right direction. Mariah's a great talent. So it's good to see that she's with Toni because she gets to interact with like these bigger AEW women stars. So, it worked. It was perfect.
Yeah, it definitely did. There was something I wanted to add to this. Now I completely forgot, but whatever. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this match. I'm liking the way that they are telling the story with Mariah and Toni. And this is finally, I finally feel like Thunder Rosa is getting back into the spotlight. It kind of felt like they had shifted her on the side a little bit. And now it feels like she's back in there. She's back in the groove of things. And I think that's something that I personally am happy for Thunder Rosa on that. And she had some good shit that she was talking to freaking Toni. She called her a babosa. I thought that was pretty funny. And then she threw some good lines in there. We got MD89 who sends in a super chat saying, Denise, you dug goat, BTW. It's MDB999. Thank you so much, man. I've been saying 89, huh? Yeah. Yeah. MD899. There you go. I'm going to practice that. I got it. All right. Next week, the only match that's been announced so far is Adam Copeland versus Penta. Next week, Reg will be back. So you guys will be seeing the California Connection then. But there's still a lot happening on this channel. As you guys know, it's WrestleMania weekend. Tomorrow, I fly out to Philadelphia for WrestleMania, and I'm going to be posting a bunch of stuff on here on the channel. So make sure you guys check it out. If you want to check out WrestleMania predictions, myself and Luke Owen of WrestleTalk did a prediction stream today in the morning that is up here on the channel on the podcast feed for you guys to check out at any point. And yeah, before we go, Malcolm, where can the people find you? Let them know.
Of course. Thank you so much for this opportunity. You guys can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I mean, like, you can follow me anywhere. Malcolm Muscle. That's where you can find me. I do a lot of interviews as well, just like Denise. She doesn't weigh better, but I do interviews as well. I interview a lot of cool talent. Just had Ezekiel Jackson on, the last ECW champion. We run into Philly. I'm just saying, like, you got to come through and watch that because love Ezekiel Jackson. But follow me over there, all over social media. I post a lot of great content. I'm just an interviewer trying to make it in this world. I just want to be like Denise when I grow up. So just follow the journey.
That's the first time I've ever heard that, and it's actually kind of amazing. I'm like, aw. That got me. Damn. Alrighty, guys. That was the show. Thank you guys so much for watching. Don't forget to subscribe. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.